and I got me a scalp out there when I get time to take it.
Provide, Namus, they don't leave your carcass here in the dirt.
I come here to leave Indian carcasses in the dirt. I made no change of plan.
They could see the Comanche war paint now as the warriors rode in plain sight across their front. Faces and naked bodies were stripped and splotched in combinations of white, red, and yellow. But whatever the pattern, it was always pointed up with heavy accents of black. The Comanche color for war, for battle, and for death. Each warrior always painted up the same, but it was little use memorizing the paint patterns because you never saw an Indian in war paint except when you couldn't lay hands on him. No use remembering the medicine shields either, for these, treated as sacred, were never out of their deerskin cases until the moment of battle. Beside paint, the Comanches wore breech clouts and moccasins. A few had horn or bear claw headdresses, but these were young warriors without the great eagle feather war bonnets that were the pride of old war chiefs who had tallied scores of coups. The ponies had their tails tied up and were ridden bareback, guided by a single jaw rein. Zack Harper squinted at the attackers.
Ain't that big one Buffalo Hump?
No, that ain't Buffalo Hump. Don't talk so damn much.
The Comanche leader turned again and circled in. He brought his warriors past the defenders within 50 yards, ponies loosely spaced, racing full out. Mark was paralyzed by the impact of the war cry, stunned and sickened as by a blow in the belly with a rock, piercing to his backbone to cut off every nerve he had. It was not exactly the eerie sound of his terror dream, but it was the spirit of the sound, the essence of its meaning. The muscles of his shoulders clenched as if turned to stone, and his hand so vised upon his rifle that it rattled, useless, against the saddle upon which it rested. And at the same time, every other muscle in his body went limp and helpless. Amos put his mouth to Martin's ear.
Let your shoulders go loose. Make your shoulders slack and your hands will take care of themselves. Now help me get a couple.
That worked. All the rifles were sounding now from behind the tied down horses. Mark breathed again, picked a target, and took aim. One Comanche after another was dropping from sight behind his pony as he came opposite the waiting rifles. They went down in order, like ducks in a shooting gallery, shamming a slaughter that wasn't happening. Each Comanche hung by one heel and a loop of mane on the far side of his pony and fired under the neck, offering only one arm and part of a painted face for target. A pony somersaulted, its rider springing clear unhurt as Mark fired. The circling Comanches kept up a continuous firing, each warrior reloading as he swung away, then coming past to fire again. This was the famous Comanche wheel, moving closer with every turn, chewing into the defense like a racing grindstone, yet never committing its force beyond possibility of a quick withdrawal. A lot of whistling noises were arrows going over. Zack Harper's horse screamed, then went into a heavy continuous groaning. Another Indian pony tumbled end over end. That was Amos' shot. The rider took cover behind his dead pony before he could be killed. Here and there, another pony jerked, faltered, then ran on. A single bullet was to be closely placed to bring a horse down clean.
The horses, you fools! Get them horses!
Another Comanche pony slid on its knees and stayed down, but its rider got behind it without hurt. Ed Newby was firing carefully and unhurriedly across his standing horse. The shots made the horse twitch its tail, but it stood.
You gotta get the shoulder. No good to gut shot him. You fellas ain't leading enough.
He fired again, and a Comanche dropped from behind his running horse with his brains blown out. It wasn't the shot Ed was trying to make.
See how easy?
50 yards out in front of him, Martin Pauly saw a rifle snake across the quarters of a fallen pony. A horn headdress rose cautiously, and the rifle swung to look Mark square in the eye. He took a snapshot, aiming between the horns, which disappeared, and the enemy rifle slid unfired into the short grass. After that, there was a let-up, while the Comanches broke circle and drew off. Out in front of the cowmen lay three downed ponies, two dead Comanches, and two live ones, safe and dangerous behind their fallen horses. Brad Matheson scanned the field.
Good God Almighty, there's got to be some way to do this.
Mose Harper scratched his beard.
I think we done just fine that trip. Once when I was a little shaver with my pa's bull wagons, a couple hundred of them circled us all day long. Never did get them whittled down very much. They just fine and went away. You glued to the ground, Zack. Take care of that horse.
Zack got up and took a look at his wounded horse. but didn't seem to know what to do. He stood staring at it until his father walked across. Mark turned to Amos.
Tell me one thing. Was they hollering like that the time they killed my folks?
Amos seemed to have to think that over.
I wasn't there. I suppose so. Hard to get used to, ain't it?
I don't know. I don't know if I'll ever be able to get used to it.
Amos looked at him oddly for some moments.
Don't you let it stop you.
It won't stop me.